You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, imagine the scenario. There's somebody at the door or something at the door with your grocery shopping, and you open up to discover it's a delivery robot. This could happen. It is happening. And here to help us understand what this means for blind and partially sighted people is Lisa Johnson, who is the Director of Public Affairs at Starship Technologies. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Lisa. Just so many questions. Where to start? Can you please, for us, just describe one of your Starship delivery robots? How big is it? How much does it weigh? How fast does it go? What should we expect?
Oh, I can indeed, David. It's wonderful to be here to talk to your listeners. So a Starship robot is kind of like a little cooler on wheels. It's got six wheels. It's a little white and black box that's got a load of sort of cameras and sensors inside it to help it drive autonomously. It's about 70 centimetres long, and then it's 57 centimetres wide and 57 centimetres tall. So it's kind of about the width of an average pedestrian and comes up to just above knee height. But it's also got a flag on there, and that's to help people who are partially sighted or maybe have low vision. And that comes up to about shoulder level. It's a black flagpole with a bright orange LED flag on it with LED lights inside it. And it weighs about 35 kilograms when it's unloaded. In terms of how fast it goes, it's kind of like a little cautious pedestrian. So it can go up to 4 miles per hour on the pavements, but usually it's going a little bit slower than that because it's a little cautious pedestrian who's always sensing what's around it. And if it sees as an obstacle or someone coming along, it's going to slow down quite significantly.
And where are we likely to find your robots?
Well, so in the UK, we're actually operating at the moment across Milton Keynes and Northamptonshire. Some places in Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire, Leeds, Wakefield, Trafford in Greater Manchester. So we've got quite an extensive UK operation, but we're also across the United States. We operate in Germany, Denmark, Estonia, and across the whole of Finland too.
Right. And you've sort of touched on some of this already, but just tell us a bit about the company and your mission, especially in the context of making sure that your robots are accessible and inclusive for blind and partially sighted customers.
This is really important to us because Starship's core mission is to make life easier and more convenient for people and businesses, and to do that in a sustainable and ethical way. So making sure that we do have an accessible solution, that there's twofold really. It's that it's useful to people who have disabilities. So around a quarter of our customers tell us that they have a disability or live with someone who has a disability. So it's important to us to be an accessible solution, but also then being sensitive and accessible and inclusive in the way that we operate in communities.
Right. And just talk us through some of the features that your robots have to make sure that they are safe and that they recognise the needs of pedestrians who might not be able to see them coming.
Yeah, so it's a really sophisticated sort of bit of technology we're talking about. So our robots inside them, they've got 12 cameras. They've also got time of flight cameras, which means that they can judge how quickly things are moving to and from and around them. They've got sensors and radar. So all the time, they're kind of, they've got a 360 view of the environment around them. So actually, they've got one up on pedestrians like that, because you and I don't have eyes in the back of our heads. So they're looking all the time around them to see what's happening. And because of that, they've got really sophisticated obstacle avoidance technology within them. They've got what we call neural networks. So that's how they learn. When I said we learn with every journey, every time they make a delivery, make a journey, these robots learn and figure out more about the world around them. And by doing that, we can then also modify their behavior in certain scenarios. So I'll take you through one, for example, with mobility devices. When we first started out, the robots hadn't encountered enough mobility devices, so they didn't know what one was. It takes a lot of encounters. And once you've had those encounters, you can say to the robot, hey, robot, if you meet somebody who's in a wheelchair, you should behave slightly differently than just a normal situation. And so that's the sort of thing we work on continuously round the clock, year on year. So some of the things that we've done already, for example, that the flag design on our robot, it used to be a really pale yellow. And we spoke to the good folks at RNIB and said, what would you do to make this better? And they said, well, it's not going to stand out against a lot of backgrounds. So let's change that, which we did. So now it's got LED lights built into it to make it stand out better. In terms of guide dogs, we wanted to make sure that guide dogs interacted okay with our robots and our robots with guide dogs. So we conducted a few trials there.
So do they make a noise then? Is there a sort of a buzzing or beat? Do they, you know, what were I likely to hear?
Yeah, it's kind of a low-level hum.
Right.
Because we could make it completely silent. You know, our electric vehicles these days can be completely silent, but we choose not to do that. That is kind of the same scenario, really. We want to make sure you can hear the robot moving.
And does that cut through, like, in, you know, busy environments?
It does. And we can modify it. So we can make the robot a little bit louder if we need to.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, you know, if you're walking down a pavement on a, you know, busy afternoon, you know, lots of traffic perhaps, and maybe there's a delivery robot coming in the opposite direction, and I'm there sort of, you know, tapping along with my cane. So you mentioned the field of view, so the robot's going to see me coming and presumably take, you know, evasive action. Will I be alerted to the presence of the robot in any way?
So it kind of depends on the scenario. And this actually ties into one of the things that we're really working on at the moment. So we've got what we call an accessibility advisory panel, where we kind of, the RNAB is involved in that, along with other charities like Leonard Cheshire, for example, and some academics. And so we take real world scenarios, and then we come to you guys and say, what should we do in this scenario? And I feed that back into our engineering and our autonomous driving processes. So one of the most important thing is the robot's always going to try and avoid everything around it, because that's what it's programmed to do. It's programmed to be cautious. It's programmed not to get close to people. So anything that we add on top of it is kind of belt and braces, additional stuff to make it even sort of more responsive. One of the key things we're working on at the moment is how the robot could recognize a cane, and therefore how we could modify behavior based on that. So as you can imagine, a cane's, we all know, quite thin. If you're a robot trying to detect it, there's obviously not that many pixels there because it's quite thin. So we need to have thousands of interactions with a cane. And as soon as we've got to that point, we're getting close now, we're doing some really good work on this. As soon as you've got to that point, when the robot understands what a cane is, then you can program it to behave better. Or as has been suggested by RNIB and others, to make an audible sound and announce its presence when it's there. Which is something that we've done now with mobility devices. So if someone's, if a wheelchair and a robot are on a narrow path and they happen to get in each other's way, a little robot will recognize the mobility device and just say, hey guys, we're in a little tricky situation here. A human's going to help me out in a second. Because that's important too. Our robots are always backed up by a remote assistant who's behind the scenes if the robot needs a little bit of help.
How can the general public kind of keep up to date? What's the best way to kind of get engaged with Starship Technologies?
So just drop us a line on accessibility@starship.co. Always happy to have a chat because, you know, obviously we're not in every area yet, but hopefully someday we will be. So having those conversations now for when those things happen is really valuable to us. And social media channels too. We're on X, obviously the former Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn too, and Instagram. And I believe TikTok, although that's probably one for not necessarily my generation, but TikTok we are as well.
Lisa Johnson, Director of Public Affairs at Starship Technologies. Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Dave. Lovely to be here.